الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين أسأل الله أن يرزقنا حسن النية I ask Allah to grant us the sincere intentions. قال المؤلف رحمه الله فصل يجب على كل مكلف أداء جميع ما أوجبه الله عليه. The author said every accountable person is obligated to perform all the obligations which Allah ordained upon him. شرح ذلك أن كل إنسان مكلف يجب عليه أن يؤدي كل الواجبات لذلك الصبي إذا بلغ وجب عليه أن ينوي أداء كل ما أوجبه الله عليه لابد أن يكون عنده نية أداء كل ما أوجب الله عليه أن يؤديه من الفروض وترك المعاصي An accountable person is obligated to do everything Allah obligated him to do. Allah made it an obligation upon him to do. Which means he has to avoid the sins. Do all the obligations and avoid all the sins. And this is why the scholars said when the non-pubescent child becomes pubescent, after becoming pubescent, he or she has to be firm in their hearts that he or she will do all the obligations and refrain from all sins. One has to have this firmity in one's heart. وهذا أي أداء الواجبات واجتناب المحرمات هو طريق النجاح والفلاح هو الذي يرضي الله وهو الذي وهو طريق النجاة في الآخرة This issue of obeying Allah, doing the obligations to refrain from sinning, this is what makes one accepted to Allah and safe in the hereafter. وهو طريق الولاية. This is the way to be a wali, accepted by Allah. الولاية ليست بمجرد الإكثار من القصص وحكايات الصالحين وإطراق الرأس وإظهار التواضع. طريق الولاية أداء الواجبات واجتناب المحرمات، واجبات كلها واجتناب المحرمات كلها. To be a wali does not mean to talk a lot about the pious people, about their stories, about al-awliya. It does not mean only to eat a little, to lower the head, and to appear to be a humble person. The real way to be accepted by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and among those people who are safe in the hereafter is to do all the obligations and refrain from all the sins. We had a person that in the past I took him as a friend. And other people, I think they did the same. This person ate a little amount of food. Did not sleep a lot. I spent with him some time and after that I used to sleep only 3 hours. That was more than sufficient for me at the time. He made a lot of zikr. He was soft while talking to others. Gentle. He does. Maybe most of the time his head, he looks down, etc. So he appeared to be someone who has very good characters. So as I said, we were together for a period of time somewhere and I noticed that he does not take good care of teaching the people who are there. And when he starts to teach someone, immediately he starts asking him to do a lot of zikr, etc. Instead of teaching him the obligatory knowledge that he has to know. So I talked with him about that. He did not mention, he did not reply in a convincing way. Well, he doesn't have it, he cannot convince me about the opposite of this issue. Anyway. Sometimes I heard him talking in a bad way about some people. They told him, why are you saying that? If this is true, then go and advise that person. He said, well, because out of warning, I'm saying that to warn against him. I told him, you said that Sheikh knows about those issues, didn't you? He said, yes. I said, he didn't warn against him. So he didn't say anything. He said, Ya Barakallahu Fik. Then after that, I would hear him talking bad against this person. To make the story short, after a period of time, after a few years, it turned out that this person was acting in a very bad way. Even some people told me that they heard him saying statements which would be blasphemy. What I want to say that you need to be careful when you weigh your acts and when you weigh the acts of others. The successful way, the way of success, is to do the obligations and refrain from sinning. This is the way of success. This is the way of success. Those who know Sheikh Abdullah, they know that he doesn't leave out teaching, giving advice, etc. Although those who know him, they know well that when he is teaching and he wants to take a rest for a few minutes, he starts making dhikr immediately. Those who know him, they notice that his tongue starts to move, making dhikr secretly. They know what he does at night, they know what... But still, the table of priorities, the list of priorities is very clear in his mind and in his actions. So don't lose that. بعض الناس يقولون الأصل صفاء القلب إذا صفى القلب لا يؤثر بعد ذلك مهما فعل الإنسان. كذبوا. رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام بين أن أحب أمر إلى الله يفعله الإنسان هو أن يؤدي ما أوجب الله عليه ما فرض الله عليه. وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضت عليه. هذا طريق الفلاح. Some people said, if one becomes with a enlightened heart or something like that, clear heart, whatever, pure heart, then it doesn't matter what he does. Those people are liars. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام taught us that the best thing to do is to do the obligations. As in the hadith that Allah said, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ. Uh, شاء الله. قال المؤلف: ويجب عليه أن يؤديه على ما أمره الله به من الإتيان بأركانه وشروطه ويجتنب مبطلاته. The author said, one must satisfy their integrals, rukun, and their conditions, shart. Also, one must avoid their invalidators. شرح ذلك أن الفرائض التي فرضها الله على العباد لها أركان وشروط، وهناك أمور تبطلها. يجب على الإنسان أن يؤدي هذه الأركان وهذه الشروط عند أداء هذه الفرائض. وأن يجتنب ما يبطلها، ليس كما يفعل بعض الناس يهجم على أداء الفرض من غير مراعاة لا للركن ولا للشرط ولا لاجتناب المبطل. ما ترون بعض الناس يتوضؤون يغسل وجهه من غير أن يراعي أن يغسل كل الوجه، يغسل يده من غير أن يراعي غسل كل ما يجب غسله في اليد، يمر رجله تحت الماء ويمكن نصف رجله ما وصل الماء إليها. لابد يقف ليصلي ويكون على بدنه أو على ثوبه نجاسة لا يعفى عنها، لا يراعي. الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام رأى رجلا توضأ وترك من عقبه، من مؤخر الرجل، من الرجل من خلف القدم من خلف، لمعة شيء قليل ما غسله، فقال: ويل للأعقاب من النار. معناه لا يصح وضوءك بترك هذا. ويل للأعقاب من النار، يعني يستحق عذاب النار، لأنه عند ذلك يصلي بوضوء غير صحيح، فلا تصح له صلاة. One has to fulfill the integrals and the conditions of the obligatory matters. Likewise, one has to avoid what invalidates those matters. Because he wants to do something, he wants to fulfill the orders of Allah. If he does not fulfill the integrals and the obligations and does not avoid the invalidators, he is not fulfilling the orders of Allah. Some people, they care about the appearance of doing the obligation, not in doing it really. So when they make wudu, they put the water on their faces, they don't care that the water reaches all the face. When they wash their hands, they leave out parts without being washed. Parts of the arm, or the fingers, or the like. When they wash their feet, sometimes half of the foot is not washed. They just put their foot under the water, and sometimes maybe half of it is not washed. They stand to pray and they have on their clothes najasa, which is not overlooked. So their prayer is not valid. They pray with that najasa on them. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام once saw a man making wudu. He left from the a small part of his foot that he did not wash. A part of the heel that he did not wash. A small one. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام addressed him by saying, وَيْلٌ وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. That is, which means woe for the heels of the torture of hellfire, from the torture of hellfire, which means that the one who does that deserves the torture of Allah, because his wudu is not valid, and by consequence his prayer is not valid. هذا الحديث رواه أبو داود. This hadith is narrated by Abu Dawood. قال المؤلف ويجب عليه أمر من رآه تارك شيء منها أو يأتي بها على غير وجهها بالإتيان بها على وجهها. The author said, if one sees another person leaving out any of these obligations or performing them incorrectly, one must order him to perform them correctly. شرح ذلك أنك إذا رأيت إنسانا يأتي بالفرض مع ترك ركن من أركانه هو بالإجماع ركن, أو مع ترك شرط هو بالإجماع شرط, أو مع فعل مبطل هو بالإجماع مبطل, يجب عليك أن تأمره بأن يؤدي هذا الفرض على النحو الذي أوجبه الله, بأن يأتي بالركن أو بالشرط وبأن يجتنب المبطل. If you see someone leaving out an integral or a condition which is considered an integral or a condition by consensus, then you have, it is an obligation upon you to order that person to do this obligation in the proper way. Likewise, if he is doing an invalidator, which is by consensus, which invalidates the act of worship by consensus, then you have to order him to do it in the proper way by leaving out this invalidator. إذا كان الحال هكذا مع الذي يترك ركنا أو شرطا, فكيف يكون الحال مع الذي يقع في الكفر؟ لا بد من نصحه. وكيف يكون الحال مع الذي يأمر غيره بالكفر لا بد من تبيين فساد حاله. If this is the case with the one who leaves out an integral or a condition, then what would be the case with the one who commits blasphemy or the one who orders others to commit blasphemy? One has to give advice to such people and to warn the people against those who misguide them. It is an obligation. It is an obligation. وَمَنْ كَانَ قَادِرًا عَلَى الْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيِ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ قَصَّرْ مَعَ تَعَيُّنِ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِ فَهَذَا لَا يَكُونُ مَرْضِيًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مهما فعل. When it is a personal obligation upon one to order al-ma'roof or forbid al-munkar, and one does not do that, then this person would not be accepted to Allah, regardless of what he does, whatever he does. He wouldn't have a high status, regardless of what he does. وَاقِعْ فِي الْإِثْمِ مهما فعل. He is a sinner regardless of what he does. حتى يتوب, until he repents. ومن شروط التوبة ترك المعصية. And among the conditions of integrals of repenting is to leave out the sin that one is repenting from it. فَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَيُّ وَاحِدٍ مِنَّا أَنْ يُقَصِّرَ فِي الْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. So no one among us should be falling short in ordering المعروف or forbidding المنكر. مرة الشيخ عبد الله كان راجعا من سفر إلى بيته, كان قطع بالسيارة مسافة 12 ساعة, ثم عرف بحال أناس في البلد التي تركها بحال تقتضي النصيحة في معاملة من المعاملات التي يعملونها, تعامل فيما بينهم ليس في العقيدة لا بل في معاملة من المعاملات. فرجع إليهم فنصحهم ثم بعد ذلك رجع إلى مقصده, تابع طريق الرجوع إلى بيته. Once Sheikh Abdullah was going back from a trip to his house home, after he covered like 12 hours in driving, يعني it wasn't him who was driving, he was in the car, 12 hours of driving, he knew about some people where he were, about one transaction that they did which was not halal. So he told the one who was driving, let's go back. He went back. He advised them. He told them what's the proper way to do it. Then again, he went back home. One shouldn't be short, fall short in ordering al-ma'roof and forbidding al-munkar. طالما أن الشخص قادر على الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر لا ينبغي له أن يقصر. As long as the person is able, he is not prevented, he can order al-ma'roof and forbid al-munkar, he shouldn't fall short in that. أما إن عجز لا يستطيع أن يأمر ولا أن ينهى عند ذلك يكفيه الإنكار بقلبه. Now if he cannot, if he is in a situation where he cannot order al-ma'roof or forbid al-munkar, then it is enough for him to hate in his heart the sin, to deny this bad, to reject this bad situation in his heart. This would be enough. يعني I don't think any of us is in that situation. But maybe sometimes during one's life, few times, one might be under such conditions, but usually we are not. Many times one is shy to give advice, or one takes in consideration worldly matters, and because of them he does not give advice. But in most of the cases, I do not think we are unable to do that. نعم إن كان الأمر بالمعروف إن كان النهي عن المنكر يؤدي إلى منكر أعظم عند ذلك حرم هذا الأمر. Of course, if forbidding al-munkar makes the one to whom you are talking, makes him do a worst act of sinning, then if you know that, then it is forbidden for you to talk to him, to forbid him from doing that sin. You cannot stop him from doing that sin, and if you talk to him, he will not listen, rather he is going to commit a bigger sin. Then you don't talk to him. Then it would be haram for you, if you know that, to talk to him. Someone, واحد يسب إنسانا إذا قلت له صل على النبي لا تسبه بغير حق إذا كنت تعرف أنه يسب رسول الله عند ذلك فيكفر لا يجوز لك أن تقول له اترك. Like if you see someone cussing another person and you tell him calm down, make us salah ala nabi, and you know if you tell him calm down, he is going to commit a bigger sin. He might curse the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام because he is angry, and thus he would be committing blasphemy. In this case, you do not tell him anything. You do not tell him that. It is haram to tell. If you know, if one knows that he is going to curse the Prophet, then the one who tells him stop commits blasphemy, because he is pushing him to commit blasphemy, as if he is ordering him to commit blasphemy, and thus he himself blasphemes. لكن في الغالب أغلب الأحوال لا يكون الأمر كذلك. In most cases, this is not the case. One time, one of the brothers, he took a cab. So that person, the driver, he seemed to be a very harsh person. And while he was driving, he said a blasphemous statement. So that brother was in the cab, he was afraid. He thought that if I tell him anything about this issue, he's going to hit me, beat me. So he kept silent. When he arrived where he wanted to get down from the car to the destination, he opened the door. He put one foot outside of the car and the other foot is still inside. He paid him the money. He put one foot outside, one foot inside. And he told him, you know that statement you said such and such? This is kufr. You need to take a shahada. And he ran away. So, this is real, this is real. So this man ran after him and he was saying, hey, stop, I need to understand what you said. I don't want to go to hellfire. So he stopped. He took a shahada, alhamdulillah. So many times, there are always, in most of the cases, ways to give the advice in the proper way. In the proper way. Subhanallah. The bad things, if they are left out without warning against them, then they spread. Some people among those who call themselves Sufis and Sunnis, etc., and they hate the Wahhabis. And really they are people who do not want to put any effort, who are satisfied with eating, drinking, and once or twice a year, or maybe 10 times a year, they want to do al-mawlid, and that's it. They tell you, don't talk about the Wahhabis. Don't warn against the Wahhabis. Don't warn against the Ikhwanjis. Why are you warning against them? You do what you have to do. You teach the correct things, and people will distinguish, people will discriminate. You don't need to talk against them. You don't need to warn against them. How do people distinguish between what's good and what's right without warning against what's wrong? It doesn't work. It does not work. It does not work. This means, their statement means, let those bad people spread misguidance. Let them take people astray. Don't warn those people. Let them go astray. This is what the statement means. This is not the way of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, nor the way of the companions, nor the followers of the companions, etc. ليس منا من لم يوقر كبيرنا ويرحم صغيرنا ويأمر بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال ليس منا، يعني هذا يكون ليس من الطبقة العالية بل من الآثمين المذنبين العاصين. ليس منا من لم يوقر كبيرنا ويرحم صغيرنا ويأمر بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, ليس منا من لم يوقر كبيرنا ويرحم صغيرنا ويأمر بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر, which means the one who does not respect the old Muslim and the one who does not have mercy for the younger, the one who does not respect the older Muslim and the one who does not have mercy for the younger Muslim, and who does not order al-ma'roof and forbid al-munkar, is not one of us, those who have the high rank, that is. Rather, it means he is sinful. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ضرب مثلا للأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر, قال مثل أناس في سفينة بعضهم في الطبقة العليا منها وبعضهم في الطبقة السفلى منها. هؤلاء الذين في الطبقة السفلى قالوا كلما أردنا أن نأخذ الماء نمر على إخواننا الذين فوقنا, بدل أن نفعل ذلك نعمل ثقبا في السفينة فنأخذ الماء بسهولة من غير أن نزعج إخواننا. البقية إن تركوهم ولم ينكروا عليهم هلكوا وهلكوا جميعا, وإن أخذوا على أيديهم نجوا ونجوا جميعا. وصدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام gave an example for ordering al-ma'roof and forbidding al-munkar. He said, this is like people who are in a ship. Some are in the lower deck and some are in the upper deck. Those who are in the lower deck, every time they wanted to get water, they needed to go up and pass by the people who are in the upper deck to reach to the water. So they talked among themselves and said, why to disturb our brothers and sisters? Let's make a hole in the ship, in this lower deck. Let's make a hole and we can reach the water easily. If the others leave them, let them do that, they do not forbid them from doing that, then those who are in the lower deck are going to drown, and the others also, all of them. But if they prevent them, then all of them are going to be safe. And this is the situation with ourselves. If we order al-ma'roof, teach the matters of the religion, forbid al-munkar, we and others will be safe. If we do not do that, we and others, we are not going to be safe. And for sure, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is truthful in what he said. قال المؤلف والحرام ما توعد الله مرتكبه بالعقاب ووعد تاركه بالثواب وعكسه الواجب. The author said the, the unlawful haram is what Allah threatened its committer with punishment and promised its avoider with reward. The obligatory, al-wajib, is its opposite. هذا معنى الحرام. الحرام ما وعد الله تاركه بالثواب وتوعد فاعله بالعقاب، يعني الذي يستحق فاعله العقاب، الذي يستحق فاعله العقاب وتاركه، أي إن تركه لوجه الله طلبا لرضا الله لأن الله أمر بذلك، وتاركه الثواب. The forbidden matter, the haram, the unlawful, is the matter that Allah, that the one who does it deserves to be punished. The one who does not do it out of fear of Allah, because Allah ordered not to do it, because the Prophet ordered not to do it, not out of fear of people, with the proper intention, the one who leaves it out deserves, will get the reward from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is the definition of haram, unlawful. الواجب عكسه فاعله له ثواب وتاركه فاعله لوجه الله له ثواب وتاركه يستحق العقاب. The definition of the obligatory matter is the opposite. The one who does it gets the reward. Who does it for the sake of Allah deserves the reward, will get the reward. The one who does not do it deserves the punishment of Allah. الكبيرة والصغيرة. الذنب الكبير والذنب الصغير يستحق فاعله العقاب. لكن إن مات مجتنبا للكبائر الصغائر لا يعاقب عليها. Allah يغفرها له. The enormous sin and the small sin, both the one who commits them deserves to be punished. But if one dies while he is avoiding the enormous sins, even if he did them, he repents before he dies. In this case, he is not going to be punished for the small sins. هلا إن كانت صغائره كثيرة فزادت على حسناته، هذه أيضا من إيش؟ من الكبائر. Now if he commits many small sins in a way that it exceeds, they exceed his good deeds, then this is again what? An enormous sin. So when we say avoiding enormous sins means also to avoid doing a lot of small sins in a way that they exceed his good deeds. Allah. خلونا نقف هنا. Let us stop here. الله أعلم. الله knows best. الله يبارك فيكم. We will delay the second class a little bit today. هلا I think Haj Ali will talk with you about that. So we would be able to clean, etc. يعني we need to do a few things. But before that, I want to say something. Although I know you feel it. I know you feel it. You expressed it. Many of you expressed it. MashaAllah, during this camp, many people talked with me about, I don't know, the maybe some would call it the peace that you feel it inside you in the camp. I also felt it, alhamdulillah. This is a good sign, alhamdulillah ta'ala. People are gathering just to obey Allah ta'ala, not to do anything else. This is a big blessing. Another thing, and inshallah it will keep going. Another thing, the benefit from reviewing what you took before, if you took before this material, or from listening it, if you are listening to it for the first time, or for some of it for the first time, I am sure that everyone, among us benefited with new information. I know that. I heard it from you. I don't need to hear it from you. Because also I benefited from giving this information. I know how. Even if one took the material before, if he hears it after a period of time, that benefits him in many ways. One way, it makes it much more firm in his heart. Another way, there are certain things that might not be clear for him, and then they become much more clear. In many cases, he wouldn't know the reason why this is the judgment, and then when he hears it another time, he knows the reason. So now he knows the judgment very well, and he can know if other cases are similar to this case or they are not, because he knows why this is the judgment. He knows why. So I know that. You don't need to explain it. I'm honest with you. I'm talking. I know. We are here with good intentions, all of us, I hope. You are at least with good intentions here, I believe. So Allah yubariku feekum. I urge you to do two things. The first thing, to review what you took. Don't just put it, put the notebook on the shelf, etc. Those who teach, I know they are going to review. So at least let everyone among you choose one person to teach him, or to review with him. Everyone among you at least pick one person and tell him, come with me to the classes. Not just tell him, come with me. To work for that. To put an effort for that. Everyone among us, someone or maybe few ones, even without you knowing it, put efforts to bring him close to listen and learn. Now you don't need to be pushed for that. But at one point of time, even without you knowing it, someone put effort for that. So, as other people were merciful with you, be merciful with others. And put effort to ask them to come to the classes and to be sure that they will come. And then, if you are not teaching, if you are learning, if you ask someone to come with you, and then you are keen that he or she comes with you to the class, then be keen also to review with this person after the class. You will benefit very much from that. The other person will benefit very much from that. So Allah yubariku fikum. This is a very important issue. Another thing, be keen to encourage other brothers and sisters to attend the camp and the winter sessions. Each and every one among us feels the benefit from that, so don't keep it for yourselves. Encourage the others to do that. Sometimes there are some difficulties to do that. Yeah, I know that, but يعني, well, isn't this something usual in this life? Many things you want to do, there are difficulties to do them. And what do you do? You manage. You would be patient with those difficulties. Sometimes, to cross the border, mashallah, it takes sometimes an hour or so. And everyone knows the reasons nowadays. It's not, yani, it's known why. But also when you go to when you want to travel to another country for the purpose of tourism, you might spend 3 hours within the embassy to get a visa when you need a visa. And it's only for pleasure, and you are patient with that. Then you have your connection flights where you might stay up till 10 hours sometimes waiting in the airport, and you are patient with that. So come on. Yani, some people when they talk about certain issues, it is important. There are occasions, there are chances that are presented for the person during his lifetime. Opportunities. Either the person knows how to take advantage of those opportunities, or he does not know. If he misses them, then he missed them. They are not going to come back again. خلاص. Maybe another opportunity would be presented for him or with him or to him. But the same opportunity, خلاص, he missed it. You don't want to be among those people who miss. Do you want to be among those people who miss opportunities? But do you want your brothers and sisters to be among those people? So it is important when we encourage one another to do good things, then you will see all of us will be going in that direction. And one, as it is mentioned in the hadith, and when we do not do that, then you will find an opposite trend going on, which at one point of time is going to affect you, your family, and your children. I know what I'm talking about. They are not living alone in an island isolated. So how things are going and moving around you and your family is an important issue. So either we take care of that or we don't. If we don't take care of that, we are going to be affected by that. I know it myself. I think you know it yourselves. Think about it. Allah yubarik fikum. Yani, I urge you about those two matters. Allah yuhsinu ilaykum. Hey, that's it. أحسن الله إليكم. إن كان لأحد سؤال فليتفضل. If you have any questions, please go ahead. Hey, Ali.
Asked the person, you tried to correct them and you know it was going to lead to kufr. Could you mention also about the case of some people in debates, they want to expose the opponent and they start asking him questions that will lead to him, the opponent.
Also the same thing, you don't do that. When you debate someone, you don't push him to utter blasphemy. Rather, even if you want to refute him, you don't push him to say the blasphemous statement. Rather you say, you know what he says. You say, such and such. This is wrong because such and such. That's it. Now if he talks after that, if he chooses to be stubborn and talks after he is refuted, after he doesn't have any proof, then you are not the one who pushed him to do that. Then you can refute him again. Is it clear? Al-Imam Al-Ash'ari, one day he was in a session with he himself, with his assistant. And in that session, there were several people among the heads of Mu'tazila. So Al-Ash'ari went in and he did not say anything. He just said that. So one of them, of the Mu'tazila, said a misguided statement. Another one said another thing. Then the third one, they were talking one after another. You know how when you say something and then another person picks the shoe, the end of it, and he goes with another thing and so on. So when they finished, he went back to the first one, he refuted him. He went back to the second one, he refuted him. The third one, he refuted him. Until he refuted every one of them and no one of them could say one word. They were all silent. He gave him another appointment then when he did that. This was in the session of a ruler and he wanted to prove, to make it clear for the ruler how misguided those people are. So he gave him an appointment for another session for them to come. And there he would talk with them in the presence of this ruler. The next session, no one among them came. So he told his assistant, okay, right on this door, they escaped. Someone asked him in the past session, why didn't you start talking? He said, I didn't want to start saying things, then they would utter misguided statements. There was no need for him to talk. There was no one for him to teach in that session. So he said, I didn't want to start by saying something, and then they would say blasphemous statements. But after they did, I couldn't keep silent. I needed to refute them. MashaAllah. What was the... Yeah, who wanted ASM? أوشك بلى صحيح. إذا ترك الناس الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر أوشك أن يعمهم الله بعقاب. Which means if the people, this is a hadith, which means if the people leave out ordering al-ma'ruf and forbidding al-munkar, then soon they will receive the punishment of Allah. Go ahead. Amin, go ahead.
And he knows the proofs for the school in a specific issue.
Yes.
But because the issue in that school is not easy for him, he follows an issue in another school, in that issue which is not easy for him in this school, but he believes this school to be right in this issue, and he knows, are we obligated to forbid him from that?
So he believes that what the Prophet said is what is said in this, what al-Shara' is what is said in this school, but still he follows in this issue another school, which has a different judgment. He is not allowed to do that. And you have to forbid him from doing that. Someone follows in general the school of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, and in one issue it is hard for him to apply the school of Abu Hanifa in this issue, but in another school, reliable school, we are talking about the schools of Al-Sunnah, Madhab Al-Sunnah, the judgment of the same matter is easier. So he chooses to follow in this issue, in one or two or three, another school. He is permitted to do that. Because the Prophet ﷺ did not say, you have to ask only one scholar, you have to follow only one scholar. Now, it is much easier for one to learn and apply if he goes according to one school. Things would be well connected for him. But if he chooses to do that, he is permitted to do that. It is permissible. The people used to come to one companion, ask him about things, about fatwa, and he never, no one among the companions told them, now you are asking me. You are applying this issue that I am telling you, it is not permissible for you to go and ask another scholar for another thing. You have to come in all your matters. No, to me, no one among them said that. Rather, the followers in some issues would ask this companion, in other issues they would ask sometimes another companion. And the same issue is with the madhahib. But again, I want to emphasize this, that it is easier for one to learn and for things not to be mixed up for him if he learns at the beginning, at least one school, after he is well strong in understanding that, then he can move if he wants to learn other schools. Go ahead.
In the case of the one who knows the proof and believes it's right, he's different from the case of the one who doesn't know.
If one believes, why? Because if one believes that what Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said in this issue is what the Prophet, is the judgment established by the Prophet, how could he then follow the saying of al-Shafi'i Ahmad or in this issue or anyone else, regardless of his high status, if he believes that this is what the Prophet said, that's it, period. When we know what... But why it is permissible in certain things to go from one madhab to another? Because this is not 100% sure. Because this is an issue of ijtihad. There is the chance, the possibility of committing a mistake there. That's why there is this facility. Khalid.
I understood the point you made, but I'm trying to grasp how myself as an Ammi, that my belief that Abu Hanif is saying complies with the Prophet and Malik's statement does not, has any...
Yeah, I know. In general, you don't, because you don't have enough knowledge for that. But if someone had this belief,
they would follow that belief, they would pay attention.
Well, if this is their belief, what do they do, Khalid?
Is it valid or is it just an imagination? That's what, when you have no knowledge to do that...
It's an imagination.
It is, right? That's what I thought.
Because you don't have knowledge to do that. Even the students of Abu Hanifa, Abu Yusuf and Muhammad ibn al-Hassan, in some cases they gave fatwa different than what Abu Hanifa did. So are you going to understand what Abu Hanifa said more than them? Yani, what are you, not me, what am I compared to them? Even the students of al-Shafi'i, al-Muzani, for example, sometimes he gave fatwas different than what al-Shafi'i did. Who am I compared to al-Muzani, for example? But still, so we don't have enough knowledge. We as we are, we do not have knowledge to judge that this ijtihad is correct, this is false. We do not, this is, it has a mistake. We don't have. Yeah, correct. Eh, Hajj Umar.
شيخ سمير لو توضح لنا موضوع تصحيح النية عن اليوم كله.
موضوع؟
تصحيح النية عن اليوم كله.
شيء حسن، شيء جميل أن ينوي الشخص في بدء اليوم أنه يفعل، أن كل ما سيفعله اليوم من الأفعال الحسنة هو لوجه الله تعالى، لكن بعد ذلك عندما يفعل كل عمل إما أن تكون هذه النية مستمرة أو يكون حصل ما يناقضها، ما يقطعها. فإن كانت مستمرة نال الثواب، وإن حصل ما ينافيها فاته ثواب ذلك العمل. لو كان أول النهار نوى أن كل ما سيفعله هو لوجه الله تعالى من الأفعال الحسنة، يعني الأمر يرجع إلى فعل الإنسان للعمل، لأي شيء يفعله، لأي شيء يفعله. هل لأن الله أمر بذلك؟ هل لأن الرسول أمر بذلك؟ هل لأن الشرع أمر بذلك؟ هل لأن فيه ثوابا؟ أم يفعله لأن له فيه منفعة دنيوية أو لنحو ذلك؟ الأمر يعود إلى هذا. أم لأجل العادة حتى لا تتغير عادته، أم لأجل إيش؟ When someone, for example, wakes up in the morning, it is a very good thing to make his intention that every good act that he is going to do during the day, he is going to do it for the sake of Allah. This is good. Now, when the person does the action, either he would have a continuation of this intention, or such an intention is interrupted. If he has a continuation, he will get the reward. If it is interrupted, then he doesn't get the reward. Even though in the morning he said this was his intention. So things go down to board. Remember from the people. So things boil down to one issue. When one does the deed, why does he do it? Does he do it because Allah ordered to do it? Because the Prophet ordered? Because a Shara' ordered? Because there is reward in it? Or he is doing it because this is what pleases his family, this is what pleases his friends, this is his habit that he does not want to change, this is what makes others praise him. It depends. In the first case, he has reward. In the second case, he does not have reward. Yes.
Shaykhi, min fadlik, sometimes the hijab of the woman slips down from her chin, but then she pulls it. It's her habit to pull it back. So if you know that there's a woman who always pulls it back, if you saw her with it coming down, do you have to always tell her, put it, fix it?
It's okay to tell her. Why not? Why are you bothered with that? Tell her.
No, maybe a person says this to a person 7 times, 8 times, 10 times.
Alhamdulillah. He cares about her. Ayat Faddal Hajj. Okay, with time, maybe she will think about another way to put it. So it doesn't. تفضل. It doesn't slip.
باللحظة اللي عطايا ما فكر انه هو عم يعملها انه اخلص انه اصحح النية.
ليش عملها؟
بس هو اذا رجع لنفسي انا ما فعلته الا لله.
هو ليش عملها؟ بتلك اللحظة.
هو ما بس بلحظتها ما استحضر بس عطا بس هو اذا رجعته هو.
طيب حاج خدني بحلمك. بلحظتها لح اعطيك مثال. واحد كان قاعد بعدين قام صلى. لما صلى لأيش صلى؟ ليه قام صلى؟ ليه ما بقي قاعد؟ حتى يقولوا عنه رفقاته بيصلي ولا لأنه فرض لا يريد أن يضيعه؟ ليه؟ فإذا هاي النية هاي هي.
ولو كان ما جددها
ليس شرط. ما هو حصلت شو ما جددها؟ لا حصلت شو ما جددها؟ ما هي حصلت. ليس شرطا أن يقول عبارة لله تعالى، إنما إذا صلى لأن الله أمر بذلك هذه هي النية. عرفت حاج؟ أنا مثلا بعد الدرس مثلا بدي أعطي درس، يمكن باللحظة ما استحضرت عبارة لله تعالى، بس ليش أنا عم بعطي هالدرس؟ ماني عم بهالوقت عم بعمل شي تاني. بلحظتها لما بدأت لما درست، لما؟ لأن الله أمر بذلك. إذن هديها. ليش أنا عم بحضر هالدرس؟ ماني قاعد مادد إجري وقاعد عم برتاح بهالوقت، لأن الله أمر بذلك. هي كأنه قال لله تعالى. لما واحد ينفق على أهله، ليش أنا عم بدفع هالمال؟ ليش أنا عم جيب لأهلي الأكل؟ هل هو منشان تكون مرتاح أنا وياهن، ولا لأن الله أمر بذلك؟ إذا كان لأن الله أمر بذلك نال الثواب. هيك لو لم يستحضر عبارة لله تعالى. وبالغالب بالغالب بالغالب يعني المسلم هاي نيته، هاي نيته. لما بتبرع بشيء من المال، ليش بتبرع؟ ليه ما بخلي هالمصريات بجيبتي لشيء آخر؟ أليس طلبا لرضا الله؟ أليس طلبا للثواب من الله؟ هذه إياها لو لم يستحضر عبارة لله تعالى. the intention, the proper intention to get reward does not mean only to have in the hearts those words, I do this for the sake of Allah. No. If one does it because Allah ordered, that's it. Why do I attend the class and I don't spend the time in another way? If it is because Allah ordered to do so, then I get the reward. If it is because after the class I want to talk to someone about a transaction, then I do not get reward. Why do I spend on my family? I support my wife and my children. If this is because Allah ordered, then ordered that, then I get reward. If it is that so that they don't give me hard time, then I do not get reward. Yeah. So this is how things go. It does not have to be this statement, only that statement. Yeah, the bottom line is why I do this action. Hey Hisham. لا ما عليها ذنب. هو شو بده يكون عليها ذنب؟
نحن
من إلا. ايه. إذا كان من الشعر الذي يجب عليها ستره.
Okay.
If we see a woman with some of her hair appearing from underneath her hijab, and it is among the hair that she has to cover, that is among the hair of the head, not among the hair of the face, then we tell her, yeah, we don't leave her, even if she doesn't know about that, she is not sinful, but we advise her about it. Yes. Fawzi, تفضل. Okay. Oh, you don't need the microphone. Go ahead, brother. بارك الله فيك ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. The reliable saying that you are not obligated to do so. If you know that you do not have any effect of them, you don't have an effect to stop them from doing this munkar, then you are not obligated to do so. Wafiq. One time Sheikh Abdullah told me to write a letter to a misguided person in Canada. And I did so. I told Sheikh Abdullah, but this person, yani, I kept silent. Then I couldn't after a while. I told him, he is not going to listen. So he said, even though some people if they do not listen, this prevents them from saying more misguided statements. I was okay. You know more. Yes. اتفضل فوزي.
Sheikh Samir, about ordering al-ma'ruf and forbidding al-munkar. Especially when related to the obligation of the hearts and the sense of the hearts and the sense of the tongue. It is a common thing is like feeling ill about other Muslims and gossips. And this is common thing about the people. And then when you hear that and then you tell that person and, you know, not it's not good to do or to say that. And then this person tells you, I know that. I know it is sin, and don't tell me. And I know that already, and don't tell me.
If you can, if you cannot stop it, then leave the session. Don't sit there and listen to that person gossiping the people.
Okay. My two questions on this case.
Uh-huh.
What is, by this person saying that, I know this is already sin and don't tell me. What is the case and judgment about this person?
He is saying, he is firm about committing a sin. This is sinful.
Okay. My second question is, if you hear him again on the other session or another time, and then you know that he will repeat, I mean...
the same statement.
What do you do in that case?
Is there other people other than you, or you are the only one?
In both cases, Sheikh Samir.
If you are the only one, then you have the choice either to leave that person and go.
Without telling him not to say nothing.
Yeah, because he understands. He knows what's... Or you repeat. You can repeat to that person. Except if you know he is going to repeat that statement. So don't tell him anything. Just leave.
Barakallah.
When there are other people, then you need to advise them. So address them. Tell them... you are not entitled to listen to gossiping. So either you tell this person to talk about something else, or leave the session, don't listen to them. There was a sister who wanted to ask something here. Okay. Tafaddal, Dr. Wissam.
In a way, to his question as well, as far as leaving the session, if you cannot...
I'll tell you what leaving the session means. Let's say you have some people here in this corner, someone is talking, gossiping, and others sitting there listening to him. So this is as if they are, what do you call, sympathizing with him. They are listening to him. So if one of them leaves that session and comes here, so he's not anymore sitting with him, he's not listening with him. That's what it means. It doesn't mean to leave the whole area. This is what it means.
And I have, if possible, a general...
Likewise, someone is sitting here drinking alcohol. And you are sitting next to this person, talking with him, socializing with him while he is drinking alcohol. This is sinful. Now, if you leave this table and you go and sit there, then that's it. You don't need to leave the whole hall and go out. Now you are not entertaining him while he's doing that. You are not, I don't know how to say it properly. You are not doing that, so that's it. This is what it means.
And my specific question is regarding the haram that is being done. Yani, if you are sitting on a table, they're not drinking alcohol, but they're eating, for example, ham. Or on that table, there are women that are uncovered at work. When you are in conferences,
when you are in a conference,
in a meeting,
you are there for another reason. You are not there to socialize with them while they are doing this. We are talking about the case when you are there for that person, for that reason, for that purpose.
It has a P. It has a P.
That's when you leave. This is not your purpose. When you have another goal, another reason, then this is not your purpose.
So if you are just as far as going out to dinner, and they order also, ham.
Yeah, it depends why you are there.
Barakallahu fiqh.
Wa fiqh. Go ahead. Two more questions.
Shaykh, is it haram to buy something from a store that sells mostly haram things?
You are talking about what? Isn't this thing halal?
The item you want to buy is halal. No.
Yeah. So maybe you are talking about getting back change from that store. Other than this is another case, but just buying, if someone owns 10,000 haram items and one halal item, you are allowed to buy the halal item from him. But when he wants to give you back change and you believe that this change contains haram money, then you don't take it. You need to manage not to take the change from them. You go and you buy with the exact, if this is the case, you buy with the exact amount of money. Yeah. Tafadhal.
The two hadiths, one about respecting the old person, other one about the ship.
The one about the ship is an al-Bukhari. The one about respecting the old is narrated by Ibn Hibban. لا كلام ابن حبان حديث ابن حبان ليس منا
نعم
لم يوقع كبيرنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم go ahead
and the one about that those will receive the punishment from Allah who do not
order الإمام أحمد وفيك come on, we said only two questions go ahead okay this is the last question and please don't raise your hands it will be difficult for me to say no so go ahead.
Sheikh, I observed some people during the prayer, they had like kufi or they have like hijab, whether man or me. In this camp, during the sujood, when they are down their forehead on the ground, they raise it a little bit and they start fixing whatever is kufi or hijab and they put it down. Is it considered to sajda in here because they raise and they come, it's like it's raised?
They take the forehead up from the
up, they fix whatever.
Yeah, don't do that, brothers and sisters. If you are making sujood and you feel that the kufi or the hijab is covering the forehead, so the forehead is not touching the ground or the prayer garment, and you want it to touch, don't lift your head to fix that. While your head is still there, you take it back. If you lift your head, fix it, then you put it back, then those are considered two sajdas. You are adding an extra sajda which is not permissible. According to some imams, to one imam at least, even if when you make sujood, there is a barrier, it is valid. The prayer is still valid. So, yani, for you to feel easier with this matter. Barakallahu feekum. Hajj Ali, I think Hajj Ali wants to address you with a few words.